Turn, if you would, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The name of the message is The Lord Willing. The Lord Willing. James chapter 4. You look at verses 13 to 17. The Lord willing. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So you don't know what's in store tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We as believers always want to be aware that we live and we breathe every single day according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Now, we don't think of that often as we breathe each breath. But every breath that we take in is another breath that the Lord has given us. And think of the mercies that we receive every day. Lamentations says those mercies are new every morning. Every morning. And they are all, think of this, for we who believe, they are all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him and through Him. And that's how they come to us. We receive mercy and we receive grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that God can take us any time to be with Him, can't He? He can. Any time. And our scripture declares this morning that our life is like a vapor. It's like a vapor. Remember a cold winter day and you go out and you go, and that vapor comes out of our mouth, right? And then what happens? We see the little mist and it's gone. The Greek word is mist. That's what our life is like a breath. Here today and gone tomorrow. What a picture the Lord has given us, every one of us, of our time upon this earth. What a picture the Lord's given us just in the breath that we breathe on a cold winter day. Our life is like a vapor. Now it may seem long to us, but in light of eternity, it's extremely short. It's extremely short. So here before us, we have a caution against presumption. We have a caution against presumption. Boasting about tomorrow. Boasting about tomorrow. Look, it says, go to now, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Here we have a caution about boasting of tomorrow. In our lives, we fill our hearts with happiness at the prospects of our plans or the things that we've planned. Some things we plan out years ahead. And others may be just a few weeks or a few months planned out. We plan out trips. And there's nothing wrong with planning these things out. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just we don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know. We have no idea. In the context here, people have grandiose plans and they never say if the Lord wills. And in never saying if the Lord wills, and I'm not saying we have to say Lord willing after everything. I'm not saying that. But we have to be conscious that if the Lord wills us to have tomorrow, we will have tomorrow. If not, we won't. We won't. So the time is short for us. Now, folks of the world often say this. They say, we will have this and we will have that. And we'll continue this year. And they have no thoughts of God at all. No thoughts at all of God. No care for God, who He is. And they're really saying, well, today or tomorrow, we will do these things. Now, the believer, we say, Lord willing, I'm going to be able to do these things. If God wills it. So we cannot presume, from this text here, we cannot presume what we will do tomorrow because we have no idea what tomorrow shall bring. And secondly, to put confidence in what we will, right? To put confidence in what we will is to put confidence in a vapor. To put confidence in a text. See, and isn't that what free will workspace religion does? They put confidence in themselves. They don't put confidence in the Lord. And our rest and our trust is in Christ, in Him alone. Think of this. Would you put assurance in something that appears for a little time then vanishes away? But people are doing that all the time, aren't they? They put confidence in themselves for their salvation. They put confidence in themselves for whatever they're going to do in life. But God's people say, we say, no, Lord willing, I'll be able to do that. Our trust and our hope is in Christ. So to put our confidence in something that appears as a mist, the Greek word for vapor, would be to put our trust in something that's fleeting. Praise God that we don't trust in ourselves anymore, eh? That we trust in Christ and Him alone and what He's done. What He's done. So our trust is in if the Lord wills that to come to pass. In everything in our lives. If today we boast in we will, then tomorrow if our plans come to pass, our boast will be in we who willed it. You see, do you see the difference between the believer and the world? The world constantly rests and trusts in we. The believer rests and trusts in the Lord. What will He do? What will He do? Words to remember. Look, it says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. We should always remember as believers. We should always remember as believers who's in control. Now, my trouble, when I get in trouble, when I get depressed, or when I get filled with anxiety, is when I get my mind off the Lord and on situations in the world or situations in my life, and I can tailspin just like everyone else. When I get my eyes off the Lord and I get my eyes upon the circumstances, look out. My refuge, though, is the Word of God. Whenever I get like that, I go to the Word. I usually go to Psalms because our dear brother David struggled with some things just like we do. And you go there and you start to read Scripture, and the peace that passes all understanding comforts our hearts. Comforts our hearts because we start to look to the Lord. We start to look to the Lord. So I always need to remember who's in control, who's guiding all things according to His will, according to His will, and according to His purpose. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 46. Words to remember. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. And the one who we remember who's in control is the one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who has our very eternal souls in His hands. The one who wills all things according to His purpose. According to His purpose. Look at Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 12, or 13. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. Now God states right there before us who He is. He is God. He's God. The one true God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like Me. All these other gods that people bow down to are figments of people's imaginations. This is the one true God speaking here in Scripture. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to come to pass. Now that brings me great comfort. Because every day, things unfold before my eyes. And I, you know, sometimes we wonder, what's going on? Look what's going on. God already knows what's coming. He's declaring the end from the beginning. And look at this. And from ancient times, eternity. Eternity, beloved. The things that are not yet done. Saying, My counsel shall stand. And I will do all My pleasure. If you're saved, it was God's pleasure to save you. Isn't that wonderful? Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed My counsel from a far country, he uses nations and people to do whatever He's pleased. That's God. That's a sovereign God. Isn't it wonderful? That's our Savior. He moves people to go one way or another, according to however His purpose will play out. My, what a God we have. Yea, I have spoken it. Now look at here. We see the sure, if God says it, it's going to happen. The sureness of His decree, or His decrees. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. Think of that. In light of God's sheep being chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. He spoke it. He gave us to Christ. And our salvation has come to pass in Christ. Sure. This is why we can have confidence preaching the gospel. Not in anything of us. As gospel preachers, we have no confidence in ourselves at all. But we have confidence preaching the Word of God, knowing that it's going to go forth and it's going to do whatever God has it to do, to save, to harden, to save, whatever His purpose is with the Word. And He will get every single one of His sheep, beloved. Every one. It's wonderful. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Now think of that in light of all different things going on. Whatever He purposes comes to pass. Hearken unto Me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near My righteousness. It shall not be far off. And My salvation shall not tarry. And I will place, look at this, look at this. We already know who Zion is, don't we, from our study in Psalm 48. Zion's church. And I will place salvation in Zion. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. Salvation's only in Christ. He's placed salvation in Zion for Israel, My glory. God's people are spiritual Israel. Look at that. So, we know that we don't work things together for the good, right? We live in this world, we move in this world, but God, He has everything work for good. For His purpose, whatever His purpose is. According to His perfect plan and His eternal purpose, things are all working out. And He even works all things according to His purpose for His people. in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose will be accomplished. And this is comforting for we who are believers. It can never be thwarted by man. God's purpose can... We saw that, didn't we, in Isaiah? God's purpose can never be thwarted by man. Let man shake their fists. Let man do whatever they please. They can never thwart God. They've tried to extinguish Christianity. Someone told me the other day, they're going to extinguish Christianity. No, they never will. There will always be a remnant. They will never extinguish Christianity. Men have tried over the years. And that rock has fell upon them to their destruction. Our God is King. Our God is Lord. And His purpose shall be accomplished. He does as He pleases among the inhabitants of the world and in heaven above. And we who believe acknowledge and bow to His absolute sovereignty, don't we? In our lives, saying, Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done, Lord. Whatever You will. Thy will be done in heaven and on earth. And God does all things according to His purpose. To bring glory to His name. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He does all things to bring glory to His name. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people glorify God in and through Christ. You who are saved, do you not glorify God for what He's done for you? It's amazing. Me, a sinner, He chose me. He saved me. He purchased me on Calvary's cross. A sinner by birth, nature, and choice, yes. Someone asked me how I know. How do you know you're one of the elect? I know because I'm saved. Because I'm born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It ain't dependent upon me. It's based on what Christ has done. People ask you those kind of questions because they believe they saved themselves. Well, they're deceived. The Lord saved me. The Lord moved in my heart. And He does for all His people. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. But look at that verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Look at this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can condemn us? If God be for us, can the law? No, it's been satisfied. Can the justice of God? It's been satisfied. Now, men can rail on us and say whatever they want. What shall we then say to these things? Let them rail. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our God is in full control, beloved, and nothing, absolutely nothing, catches our God by surprise. Nothing. Nothing. He guides and directs the affairs of man according to His sovereign will and purpose. Now, God is not the author of sin. All He has to do is leave men alone. And we just eat up sin. Because we're sinners from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. It is only by the mercy of God, beloved, that we are forgiven. All our sin. And that now we hate sin. I ask you who believe. Do you hate sin? We hate it, don't we? More in ourselves, as I've often said, than anywhere else. But God did not leave us where we were. And if he had of, we would be no different than anyone else out there. But he didn't leave us where we were. He's redeemed us. He saved us by his own precious blood. And we who believe will praise his mighty name forever, won't we? We praise his name here on earth. And beloved, we're going to praise his name in glory. We're going to praise his name. So let us never forget that the Lord, he is almighty. And that our life is just a vapor. And what peace we have knowing, though. Our life is just a vapor, but think of this. What peace we have knowing that this vapor is in the hands of the sovereign God. That brings us peace, doesn't it? Our life's but a vapor, but our life is in the hands of our sovereign, almighty God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verses 14 to 17. Look at this. Our life is but a vapor, but it's in the hands of our sovereign God. Psalm 31, verses 14 to 17. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times, where? Are in thy hand. Our life is in his hands, beloved. The hands of the sovereign, almighty God. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And he does. Time after time after time, he does that for us. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee, let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Beloved, let all our plans and conduct be in submissive dependence upon our great sovereign God and Lord. Now let us consider the offense in we will. Look at verse 16 in James chapter 4. Actually, let's read the let's read from 15 to 17. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But now you rejoice in your boastings. People rejoice in we will. And it says all such rejoicing is evil. Now this is something the world does all the time. All the time. Turn if you would to Luke chapter 12. This is something the world does all the time. The life of boasting. What they shall do and what they shall not do. And we were all there at one time in our ignorance. We did the same thing. I know I did. In Scripture, there's a very clear picture of one who did this. And think of this. I've often heard from people who work in hospitals and that young people will come in the emergency room, and 18, 20, thinking they have their whole life ahead of them. And God requires their soul then. You never know. We never know when we're breathing our last breath. But the world, they go along not caring. And when a young person dies or somebody dies suddenly, they oftentimes think they had many, many tomorrows. But it's the Lord who holds our tomorrows, beloved. Look at this man in Luke chapter 12. Look at this. Verses 16 to 21. He was one of these who said, we will. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Note, what shall I do? What shall I do? And then verse 18 says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. Now notice, I will. Will I? Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, we're going to be fine for many years. Many years. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Note, he has no thought for his soul. No thought for his soul. No thought that the Lord might take him suddenly. No thought. Look at verse 20 and 21. But God said unto them, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's presumption right before us. And to put confidence in our own will, or that we have tomorrow based upon what we do, is evil. And the world does this all the time. And I know I used to do this before the Lord saved me. So what pride is manifest here before us in this rich man? There's no thoughts of God. And so it is with those who are prideful. They will never seek God unless God makes them willing. And we were all prideful, and we still struggle with pride. Right? But we were there. But God has humbled us, showing us our desperate need for Christ. Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4 says this, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Was that not our state before the Lord saved us? And as I said, we were once just like them. We've had our pride abased, though. God's elect have had their pride abased. Although we still struggle with it. But we've been humbled before God. We've been shown who we are and what we are. We've been shown our desperate need for Christ. And it's only God who's made us to differ. Isn't that amazing? It's by His mercy and by His grace that we say, Lord willing, I'll be able to do that tomorrow. And then for the believer, when we die, we see Him face to face. Our faith becomes sight. And we know that it was the Lord's will, all those things. We know when we get to heaven, we know a lot more than we know now. My. It's incredible. There's one Lord who governs over all. One Lord who governs over all. One word. The Scriptures. And God is able to give His grace to the believer and to make the tongues sing of grace and mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let we who believe not seek after vainglory, and let us not be presumptuous, but let us rest in our Savior. Let us trust in our great King and God. And rest in His sovereign rule, the fact that He's in full control. That He's in full control. Because we who believe, Have we not experienced the power and wisdom of God in our lives? When we look back, can we not look back and go, my goodness, look what the Lord did. Look what He did. And I encourage you sometimes to reflect back and to see what the Lord's done in your life. It'll leave you in awe. It'll leave you in absolute awe. I had no care for God. He found me. And I know it's so for you who believe. He found us. He rescued us. He redeemed us at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And we had no clue until He revealed Himself. And it was His love for us. He went to the cross willingly because He loves us with an everlasting love. My! So we can look back and see His sovereign rule in our lives. And His will, I guarantee if you start to look back at what He's done, you will see time after time after time after time Him moving in your life. He directs you. Think of this. Did He not direct you to where you could hear the gospel? Did He not move you? I've talked to several of you and heard how the Lord moved you to this area so that you could come here and hear the gospel. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. And He does it all the time. He does it all the time. So let us consider this last point here, the will of the Father. The will of the Father. And let us remember the uncertainty of our will, right? Because the text says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So the uncertainty of our will, right? And our will is bound to our nature, of course. But let's look at the certainty of God's will. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. The certainty of the Father's will. The certainty of the will of God. Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 13. Look at this. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. Look at that. And I will loose the lions of kings to open before him the two left gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasure of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Though thou hast not known me. That was us. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have formed the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begattest thou, or to this woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. He's in full control. His will come to pass. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my captives go, not for a price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. What does the Lord's people, his blood-bought, washed saints, say? We bow our knee, don't we? We bow our knee to the sovereignty of God. We bow our knee to God's will and purpose in our life. And the cry of the born again, blood-bought, washed believer is, Lord, if it's your will. And their cry is actually summed up in Isaiah 12:2, which says this, behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. The Lord Jehovah is my salvation. Is He yours? Rejoice. Rejoice. The Lord is King. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne so thankful for Your goodness and mercy towards us all the time. And, O Lord, may we reflect back, even before we were saved, how You had mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, You have loved Your people with an everlasting love, and You loved us so much that You went to Calvary's cross and bled and died and redeemed our eternal souls with the shedding of Your own precious blood. May we marvel in the love that You have for us this day. And may we leave this place rejoicing. Rejoicing that the Lord is King. In Jesus' name, amen.